So here we've got the Zeitachoshen Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph. And I think we're going to have to do this in at least two sections today and next week. And I think the first section will be just to get a complete picture of where he's going. So rather than going into great detail in each of the portions, and then next week we'll pick various pieces that are really important to understand the yesod of what he's saying. But right now, let's try and get a picture of the direction he takes. And it's based on things that we've already done. So what we're dealing with here is the following. The Torah gives us an unbelievable mechanism. We can create Isurim. When we create an Isur, it's not just like creating and saying, in any culture, you can decide you're not going to do something anymore. You can make a vow or whatever, that you're not going to do it anymore. The chiddush within the Torah is that you can create a real Isur that affects the chefza, affects the object that you're creating the Isur on, and virtually makes a trait. So it becomes like an Isur, it is an Isur d'oraisa. So we can create an Isur d'oraisa not just on ourselves, so we can make chiyuv in d'oraisas by shvuas. So if I make a shavua that I'm going to give tzedakah, a certain amount of tzedakah to a certain cause by a certain time, if I don't do that, I'm over the Isur of Bal Yachil. So I've created an Isur on myself. But it goes much further. When we get to Nedorim and Kenomis, I can create the Isur in the object, not in the subject. And that's an unbelievable power. And that means that once the Neder is there, if I then eat the forbidden object or use the forbidden object, I'm over an Isur d'oraisa. But I can go even further. Not only can I create an Isur for myself, I can create an Isur for other people. I can build into an object, I can build Isur into an object that affects other people, not only me. Now, we need that mechanism, we use that mechanism constructively with Hekdesh. So when we makdish something for the Beis HaMikdash, or we makdish something for the Korban, we're changing the objective status of that object. So a lamb, a sheep that we makdish to for a korban oilo is no longer a lamb. It's a korban oilo. It's a different chetza. It becomes a different object. Different halachas apply to it. The same applies with nazirus. We make us, a person makes himself into a nazir. He's a different human being. It's not the same type of person. He was an ordinary person before. Now he's a nazir. He's changed his mitzvahs. We've got it with kiddushin. Person is Mekadesh and Isho, he changes the Mitzvah of that Isho from being an Isho, a spinster, to being an Ashes Ish. So you could have if a man has relationships with a woman one day, it's no big deal, and he has relationships with the same woman the next day, and he's an Isha Skiva. What's changed in between? She's become an Ashes Ish. Who made her an Ashes Ish? A man made her an Ashes Ish. The human being has the capability, the Torah gives the human being the capability to create Isurim as serious as the most serious in the Torah. We can create them ourselves just by human action. Human action and human intent can do that. And that's the area of Hekdesh, it's the area of Nedorim and Koinomis. The connection between Hekdesh and Koinom is interesting because we've got to redefine the idea of Kedusha a little bit. Normally we think of Kedusha in terms of sanctity, that something that dedicated for the Ribbono Shel Olam, but Kedusha has a wider meaning than that as well, and that is any time an object's use is restricted, it has a higher level of Kedusha. Because Kedusha means, in its most basic sense, Kedusha means dedication, sacredness. So the essay that I sent out a few weeks ago about the iPhone as a siddur, the iPhone can't replace a siddur because it has no Kedusha. Why does it have no Kiddush? Because you use the same object for business and for checking up where movies are and for communicating on email. You're using the object has no Kiddush. There's no sacredness to it. Whereas a siddur is dedicated. A siddur is used for nothing but tefillah. And that's what a Beis HaKnesses is and a Beis HaMedrash is. And that's why davening in a Beis HaKnesses is completely different to davening in a Beis HaMedrash. It's restricted usage. But even if something's usage is restricted, not for the Ribbono Shel Olam, just it's not for everything. The moment you start restricting it, it has an element of Kedusha when we think of Kedusha in the wider sense. So Koinomis and Hekdesh have a conceptual similarity. When you restrict the usage of an object, it's if you're instilling some form of Kedusha. Restricted use and Kedusha are linked. And we'll see that as we go through this. So what we're looking at now is, I have the power to restrict usage. I have the power to make a neder, a koinom. When I've made a koinom, not only can I make a koinom on myself, so that I don't get that I have no right to use it, but also I can make a koinom that you have no right to use it. Now, what we're going to explore in this piece of Ksesa Choshen is, what happens if you have a right to something of mine? Can I overrule your right using the koinom mechanism? So you have a right to my house. How would that happen? How could you have a right to my house? Okay, so you've rented it. The house is still mine. You've just rented it. Can you put a koinom on it? Can you assert it with a koinom? Let's say assert to everybody. Make this a house that's also mine, or you makdish the house. What happens to my rights to be socher? What are the boundary lines? This right, this ability that we have to impose isur on a chefetz, what are its boundaries? And can I impose isur on a chefetz in which you have some kind of a right, where that right will be restricted by the isur I've imposed? So that's a natural outcome of the strange power that the Torah has given us. So where the Torah says chaz is treif, we know from the beginning it's always treif. There's no problem with it. But where a human being can start saying, from tomorrow this is going to be also, how does that affect other people's usage and other people's rights? So let's work through the Ksos HaChoshen, and we'll kind of park any major issues that we have. See where he's going and what his intention is, see the various Gemaras that it's based on, and then next week we'll go into it in even greater depth. So the very first piece of it is not that relevant. It becomes relevant a few lines further in. The case in the Shulchan Aruch that we're talking about is a shutfim, partners in objects that cannot be separated, that cannot be divided, such as a chotzer she'in bedin chalukah, which is a chotzer that is less than 4x4. Or an evet, you can't cut an evet in half. So if you've got shutfin in an object that cannot be separated, and the one shutter says to the other, well, look, I don't want you as a partner, and we can't cut this thing in half, so either you sell me yours, or I'll buy, or you buy mine. Let's agree a price, and either you sell me yours, or I buy mine. That's the din of good or good. That's one of the ways that you resolve the partnership dispute. You agree a price, and one buys the other out. So that's the piece that the Ksos HaChoshen starts in. So of course, Aleph on Kufay and Aleph. V'chol li'chel k'chol b'kach v'kach. V'feri kamad v'v'basu daf yudgimel om Aleph porich. L'mandoma is din of good or good. The Gemara asks about the mandoma that holds by the din of good or good. Good or good means basically you buy or I buy. We'll agree a price that, and if you're not willing to buy at that price, I'll buy at that price. We learned in the Mishnah in Gittin that if an Eved is a Chatzi, Eved Chatzi bin Chorin, this is the kind of human being we've been dealing with already for some weeks, and there are two partners in him. We force the one to be Meshachre, and this is a Chetzi Eved Chetzi bin Chorin, so it's not two partners. It's an owner and he himself. So he might have belonged to two people to start off with. One was Meshachre, so now he's half free. And the other one still has ownership. What we do is, and this puts him into an impossible position, we learned in the Mishnah there, Shammai said he can't marry a Shivkel, he can't marry a Bas Koyrin, he's in a mess. So you've got to get him out of the mess. The only way out of the mess is that the owner of the half has to free him for that half. Has to give him his freedom. And he has to pay him out for that freedom. With no tikkun olam, so that life can carry on. Alma left din of the good or good. So you see, there's no din of a good or good, because otherwise there would be a simple solution. He could say to the slave, either you buy my piece out, or I'll buy your piece out. Why don't we give that option? Why isn't one of the options that the owner buys the other half? there's igud but not good. In that case, you can't have good. You can have a case of I will sell my piece, but not I will buy my piece, your piece. Because there's no way that people can't be sold for half sold or sold for less than a full 6 years. The mechanism doesn't work for it. That's the background, which doesn't really affect us. Where we start is now. V'ro'i l'sapek. And we should explore the following question. L'fi Mishnah Rishonah. According to the Mishnah Rishonah in Gittin, which is not the way we paskin. It's Beis Hillel, and strictly speaking, Beis Hillel is right, but it's just socially not practical. The Oved is Rabbi Yoimecho, Batsma Yoimecho. In the case of a Chatzi Eved, the Chatzi Ben Chorin, the din according to the Mishnah Rishon, according to Beis Hillel, is that he works one day for the owner and one day for himself. That's how they divide the time. Hach Avdus She Oved Rabbi Yoimecho. This Avdus, on the day that he works for his Rebbe. So Sunday he works for himself, Monday he works for the Rebbe. Imu kinyan aguf mamash kmo be'ev kanani or enu elo shibud aguf. What is the nature of the Rebbe's rights in the slave? Does he actually own the guf of the slave? Or does the slave simply owe him labor? That is the question, and in Reish Mem Ches we dealt with that as well. And this is really the foundation of what we learned in Reish Mem Ches. That's not it. In a way we're going backwards, but it works all right. So this Rebbe, when he works with his half Eved on the Monday, is he working with him as an owner, or is he working with him as the Eved has an obligation to work? And one could compare this to the din in the beginning of Perek HaShutfin in the Dorim of a house or a yard that is too small to divide. There also we divide it by time. So as we learned in the Ran in the Dorim Daf Memtes, that if was Memtes that or Memhei. As the Ran says on Memhei, each one has a kinyan aguf. If they make a neder forbidding one another to go in, the Savri Chachomim, so we have a Machlokes Chachomim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov there. So let's just refresh our memory. We've got a handout if you want to look in the Gemara in the Dorim. So it's the Mishnah in Memhei on the base. Hashutfin shenodru hanozeh mizeh. Partners that used this mechanism of neder to get at one another. So the Shutfin said, no, you're not going to have any hanor from me. Each one said to the other, asurin likonis l'chatzah. So the Chachomim say that neither of them can use the chatzah, because they each own half, and that means when I'm going into the chatzah, I'm benefiting from your half, and I'm not allowed to benefit from your half, so I can't go in. When you go into the chatzah, you're benefiting from my half, so you can't go in. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, each, when you go in on your day, you're actually going into your piece. And when we learned the Ran, and we learned the different shittas in the Ran, that what comes out according to the way the Ran learns is that you can't divide the chotzer in half, obviously, and it's not that each one owns the whole chotzer, that can't be, so we use time to divide by. So we say, you'll use it the whole yard on Monday, you'll use the whole yard on Tuesday, and that way, each one has a kinyan haguf in the whole yard, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And we use, where did you get that kinyan? When did you do that kinyan? When you originally bought the yard, or you inherited it from both of your father, the kinyan was on half of it. When did you do a kinyan haguf on the whole? Says the Ran, that works out with Breira. We knew at the time of the kinyan that we were going to have to split time. We just didn't know when the time was, so we didn't make an agreement that every Monday it's yours and fully and every Tuesday it's mine. But when you go into the yard, we use Breira, which is a retrospective application of the division to the time of the Kinyan. Because the whole problem with Breira is you can't have a kinyan that's halal or sofik. A kinyan has to be on something that's vadai. I can't say, I'll sell you, I'm not sure which piece of property. I might be selling you, let's do a kinyan. I could be selling you a property in this place, or I could be selling you a property in that place. We'll decide later on which it is. There's no kinyan. The kinyan will have to be later on, unless you hold Breira. Breira would say, well, once we've clarified which property it is, then we go back and say that was what was intended at the time of the kinyan. And normally we say Ein Breira, but here Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov goes with Breira for various reasons that the Ran explains, that we allow the usage of Breira to clarify that this Monday, when the original kinyan was done, it was done in such a way that this Monday the yard is completely mine, not half mine. It's 100% mine. And on Tuesday it's 100% yours, is the way that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov learns. Huh?
If the Shutkan are arguing, they can't agree. So how can we apply, how can they agree what day it's completely this?
It's not even an agreement. Breira just works even without agreement.
No,
right?
But how does the Breira work to say Monday it's his and Tuesday it's the other guy's?
They might have made that arrangement, that that's the way it would be, but the kinyan can't be chal on that. Or they might simply have said, you'll use it as you need to, but whenever you go into it, it's yours.
They've now just
forbade each one to have any benefit from themselves.
Like
there might be a bit of an argument going on.
Situation.
There might be an argument going on.
Situation. And once they're out to get each other, they won't agree on anything.
Yeah, so now,
they
won't
camp out there.
Yeah, no, now it's too late. You're right. Now it's too late. That agreement was done before. For years they've been using it, each one on Monday and this one on Tuesday. And now all of a sudden there's a neder, and now we say, doesn't matter. Reuven can go into it on Monday because on Monday he's not benefiting from Shimon. Because on Monday that yard is his using the principle of Breira. The Chachomim say no, there isn't Breira, and therefore each one owns half and has a Shibud in the other half. So the reason I'm there on Monday, the Chachomim say, is I've got a half and you're obligated to give me the rights of usage of your half on that Monday. That's how we divide it. So that's really the question. The Machlokes Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbonin, as the Ran learns it, is: do I have a shibud in your half on Monday, and you have a shibud in my half on Tuesday? And today we'll define what the word shibud means. Or is it a kinyan aguf that on Monday this yard is entirely mine, and on Tuesday this yard is entirely yours? So says the Ketzer Sofreshim. So it would seem to be the same question as an Eved. Eved can't be divided, a small chotzer can't be divided. Both have shutfin. In the case of the Eved, Eved is one shutter himself, and the Rebbe is the other shutter. So they both have ownership. And in the yard there are two shutfin. So can we treat them the same way? So he wants to say the chora we can. וכן מצינו בשוטפין בוואי שאין בדין חלוקה, דקור אחד וחד שמשתמש בשעת האיס לקניין הגוף, וכמו שכסברן בן הדורי. אם נוד רזה מזה, דסברי חכומים דעוסו, ורבי לא זמן יעקב מתיר, וטיים את זה חכומים דסברי איזה היי לב דהי. The Chachomim say they can't both have a kinyan in the whole property, ואין לו לשוטף, אין לו kinyan הגוף במחצוס. So each shutef only has a kinyan הגוף in half the yard. So how on Monday can Reuven use the whole yard and on Tuesday Shimon? That's because each one has a shibud in the part of the other one. And that's why there's a machlokes Chachomim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Dorim in the case of making a neder. The koinom mafkia midei shibud v'asur. And a koinom undoes a shibud. So here we get right into this issue. The Torah has given me the ability to create isur. I can convert an object from heter into isur. Can I do? I can do that not only for myself. I can do that for another person. What happens if the other person has rights in that object? Can I still do it? Say the Chachomim, yes, because kino mafkia midei shibud. So yes, you have a right to use my half of the yard. I can slap a kino on my half of the yard, and you can no longer get access to your right. So then, of course, can you take me to Beis Din and get compensation for that? That's a different discussion altogether. But as far as the yard is concerned, you can't come into the yard. I've got a shibud, and I had a shibud before you made your koinom. It doesn't matter. The koinom is mafkia midei shibud. And the way we understood that when we learned the Ran, when we were learning Simar Reish Mem Ches, was that a koinom is chal on the object. You're actually changing the halachic nature of the object. It's a qualitative change in the object. A shibud is not an object. We'll discuss today what a shibud is. The way we learned it so far is a shibud is on the gavra. I owe you a right. You have a claim on me. You don't really have a claim on the yard. You have a claim on me. I need to give you access to my yard. That's what I need to do. So your claim is on me. So you still have a claim on me. The problem is there's a koinam. Sorry, guy. I'm happy to give you access to my yard, but if you go there, you're over in Issa Daraisa. Wouldn't want you to do that. So that's the mechanism. That the koinam works on the object, and the shibud works on an obligation of the individual, not on the object. And therefore the chacholim say, each has ownership of half and a shibud in the other half. When they put on a koinam, they're putting a koinam on the half that they don't own. They're putting on a koinam on the half that they do own, that the other one has a shibud in, and their shibud falls away because they would be over in Issa Daraisa if they used that shibud. That's the mechanism of the chachamim. Rabbi Lozim Yaakov, Matim, Yishuv, Spila, Deyesh, Breiru, L'chol, Chad, Bechad, Yishkiin, Aguf, Beshor, Shimishtam, Ishtab, Rikoyim, Bechavecha, L'plein, Bechein, Lo'ilam, Ayin, Sham. We can sell something to a series of people. I can say, you've got it for the first year, and after the first year, it's going to belong to the next person, after the third year, it's going to belong to the next person. We can do that, and the object automatically, at the determined period of time, transfers ownership. So over here, on Monday it belongs entirely to Reuven, and on Shimon it belongs entirely, on Tuesday it belongs entirely to Shimon, and it flips backwards and forwards, and that's the nature of the kinyan, and there's no shibud. If there's no shibud, then I have a kinyan haguf in the chotzer. If I have a kinyan haguf in the chotzer, you can't slap a koinam on my kinyan haguf. You're not able to do that because I own, you can't ask for something that doesn't belong to you. So let's start off by picturing these two ideas of a shibud and a koinam. The koinam changes the quality of the object, and a shibud is an obligation of the individual, the right of one individual klape another individual, but it doesn't actually affect the quality of the object. It remains separate from the object, but koinam allows me to change the object to such a level that you can no longer access it. The shibud, the shibud was on this object in the sense that your claim to me was to give you access to this yard. You don't have a claim on me to give you access to another yard. So the shibud's still there, but we can't fulfill it. So can you go to Beis Din and claim from me? I'm sure you can. I haven't seen it discussed, but I'm sure you have some claim. I've caused you a loss. Is it gromo? Is it not gromo? I'm not sure how one would resolve it in Beis Din. But you have a mandatory claim on me of some sort, which you may or may not be able to enforce. But I'm not obligated to, your shibud doesn't automatically require me to give you something else, because the shibud was, you had a right, I had an obligation to give you access to this yard. I'm still giving you access. There's just an issue that arises.
The question is also, what happens if you were mata the nether? What does mafkia mean? Does mafkia mean it disappears? It
disappears.
Entirely. And Therefore, if you were mata the nether, it wouldn't come back afterwards.
And if you're mata the nether, it would probably depend on whether you're matir it or whether you're doing it or you're oikir it. If you're oikir the neder, it would probably come back because it was never there. There are two ways to be matir the neder, because oikir is lamafreya.
No, but if you matir anyway.
But it wasn't there. Once you're oikir the neder lamafreya, the neder was never there. If the neder was never there, the shibud was always there. But if you're matir the neder, it was already, the shibud was pok. I don't know that the shibud would come back. It might not come back. Good question. I don't know. So his initial thing is to say that the Eved and the Chotzer are similar. We can compare the two and we can work in the same way. That you've got ownership in half, but a Shibud in the other half, Kena Mafkia Mide Shibud. But we passed in like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and working with Breira, there is no Shibud, and therefore the Kena can't work. Why can't the Kena work? Because if you've got a Kinyan Haguf, you can't impose a Kena on something that doesn't belong to you. Omnam la'achar ha'iyun nireh. Although it would appear after going into this, that you actually can't say this with an, you can't use this with an eved. You can use it with a chotzer, but you can't use it with an eved. Because here he's going to introduce us to another idea, and that is, let me give you the idea and then we'll work through it inside. Here the idea is that chayrus in itself is a form of kedusha. So, and chayrus, like hekdesh, once it's there, can't be removed. So, And we'll see the Yerushalmi that the Tosfos says brings that the three cases that the Gemara talks about is Hekdesh, Chometz, and Shichru. Even though there are Shibudim on them, the Isur takes precedence, and that can never go away. So Hekdesh would be one. If you have a right in an object that I'm Makdish, so it could be that you've lent me money, you have a right to claim from a particular item that we specify, I give that object away to Hekdesh, that's Mafkia, your Shibud, and so on. And the difficulty with that is that you can't have a case of Meshukra v'chozer u'mishtabed. You can't flip from Shichru to Shibud and backwards and forwards the way you can ownership. Because Shichru is more than ownership. In the case of two people owning a field, you can flip backwards and forwards because it's only ownership that flips. In the case of Shichru, there's something else happening here too. So what would be the examples? What else is happening in the case of Shichru that's different to ownership? There are Isurim involved. So you can't flip from being also from being Jew to Gentile to Eved to Goy and backwards and forwards. You can't do that. You can flip once, but not one more. You can become an Eved, but you can't flip backwards and forwards.
Unless there's a get every time.
Unless there's a get Shichru. And
you can theoretically become a slave twice.
Not so simple that you can. There's a whole thing in the Gemara, but not so simple that you can become a slave twice. Certainly certain types of avodim. So let's go through and see how this works. So Omnan l'achara yinir d'ochakabi evit shechetzio ben chevrin leslan l'meimer hachem. You can't say that. To v'perik ha-sholeach membez amad aleph amrinan negocho shor b'yom shor rabbi, in this very case of a chatzi evit chatzi ben chevrin who's working for his Rebbe one day and for himself the next day, if a shor gores him on the day he's working for the Rebbe, l'rabbi, the tashlumin from the shor, go to the Rebbe. So whatever money he earns that day belongs to the Rebbe. Are you really telling me that on the day of his Rebbe he belongs entirely to the Rebbe as an Eved, and on his own day he belongs to himself as a Ben Chorin? Is that how we're splitting it, that you're a complete Eved one day and a complete Ben Chorin the next day? In that case you should be able to marry a Shivcho when you're working for your Rebbe and a Ben Chorin when you're working for yourself. Doesn't make sense. Shemashani, of course it doesn't make sense. But Isur Eloi Kamairi, Isur doesn't split that way. You can't flip Isur, on Isur you can't flip backwards and forwards. Ufirish Rashi She'ena Isur Nischalik Lechatzoin Ela B'malon. Financial ownership, material ownership can flip and can be divided, but you can't divide Isur. And therefore, since the status of Chetzio Eved B'Chetzio Ben Chorin is permanent, even when he's working for his Rebbe, he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin. And when he's working for himself, he's a Chatzi Eved. Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin is a new Metzius. You have such a thing as an Eved, you have such a thing as a Ben Chorin, and you have a third kind of a thing called the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. That's a different kind of a species. But also the Shifchu be Yisroel, and the Chatzi Ben Chorin, Chatzi Eved, is also be Yisroel of the Shifchu. Leka kinyan haguf elo be Eved Ivri. Afilu be Yom Rabo harayu Chatzi Ben Chorin, va also be Shifchu. Ubi Yisroel leka kinyan haguf. The only time that you can have a kinyan aguf is if an eved ivri is sold as an eved ivri. But if you haven't actually been sold as an eved ivri, there can't be a kinyan aguf. So all that the other person can have is a shibud. There's no other way that he can have any rights. So if you were a chatzir, eved chatzir ben chorin, I own half of myself, you own half of me. When I work for you on Monday, your half is working for you, and you have a shibud that compels me to work my other half for you too. That's what it is. But you don't own that half because I'm a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, and that status of chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin does not change on the different days. The chitema, and he goes on to say how good for kashya. Well, then why the distinction between Sode and Eved? What is that? We've just said Breira works. im ken gabi isur nami nemi breira. Let's use breira for isur too. Kimen dahava lekoim and nechal salach v'acharech l'atzmi. V'chein b'chol yom v'chedamim b'shar shutfin. Let me say you can transfer ownership backwards and forwards. The mehai time it lekin and aguf lechol shutuf b'shar shemishtamish b'kula. And we've just said that in the case of chotzer, every day, the day that Reuven uses the field, he has a kinyan aguf in the whole field using breira. And the next day, the Shimon has a kinyan aguf in the whole field using breira. So here too, let's say the Rebbe has a kinyan aguf in the whole Eved on Tuesday using breira. And that should apply to Isurim as well. Because we see that Shutfin, it works with Isurim as well. That's the whole case in the Dori. We're talking about Koinon. And we're saying the Koinon is Chal or isn't Chal depending on Breira. So we're not afraid to use Breira for Yisurin. If we're not afraid to use Breira for Yisurin, what does the Gemara answer? It doesn't work, you can't split for Yisurin. So don't split. Give him 100% ownership on Monday and give the other one 100% ownership on Tuesday and use Breira as the mechanism and let that work for Yisurin as well. So, it would be an amazing concept, but that's what should work. Lesser, that doesn't work. Why? Because there's something unique about an Eved. The Gabi Eved loy matzilu l'meimer halchin d'inei mebiyom rabbi havi kulo Eved. Because if we were to say that on Monday he is a complete Eved for the Rebbe, uviyom atzmei kulo ben chorin, and on Tuesday he is an entire bas chorin, im kein havi meshuchra, so then he has been meshuchra on Tuesday, v'chayzer mishtabed, and he's going to become an Eved again on Wednesday, v'chvar omru b'irushalmi d'loy matzilu Eved meshuchra v'chayzer mishtabed. An Eved Meshuchra cannot be Chezer and Mishtabed. And possibly, as you were saying, with the exception of if he's rebought again every time with an actual Kenyan. V'huva b'tesis b'perek ha-shaleach. Hekdash chometz v'shichru, ayin shem shikosru, shichru nami davi k'moy kedushas ha-guf, kivan d'char sho achas tu loy poka ayin shem. So let's have a look at that at Gittin. I think we've got a handout for that. Gittin Daf Mem, is that right? Do we have one?
So you could be Mechalka, so right now, through the power of Breira?
He's suggesting you should be able to do it through the power of Breira, excepting for this problem here. What's the problem here? That Hekdash Chometz B'Shichru doesn't work. Let's just look at it inside in the Rashi. So the case is in the Mishnah, Eved She'asor Rabbi Apoetiki La'achirim. So an Eved whose Rebbe made him an apotiki, that means he borrowed money from another man and said, in the event that I can't pay you, this Eved is where you can claim from. The Eved is collateral. Specified collateral. V'shichuro. Then he's m'shachre the Eved. And then he can't pay his debt. Shura tzadin eina Eved chayiv klum. Mi'ikar adin, the Eved has no responsibilities here. He's m'shachre. But in order to make things work properly, the Chachomim introduced the whole takana. And the Gemara says a little bit further down, Omar Rav, Rabbi Rishon Shuras Adin Eino Eved Chayev Klum LeRabbi. Sorry, Shuras Adin Eino Eved Chayev Klum LeRabbi Sheni. Eved owns the second owner nothing. Kiderovad Omar Rav Hekdesh Chometz B'Shichru Mafkiin Midei Shibud. Yes, the lender had a shibud on that Eved, but Shichru, like a koinon, is Mafkiin Midei Shibud. So Shichru is also a kind of Kedusha. Just as Koinam is a kind of Hekdesh, so Shichru is a kind of Hekdesh. It changes the dinim of the person. And once the person is Meshukra, that affects the guf, the quality of the person. He moves from being Eved to being a Ben Chorin. It's a different kind of a human being. He's no longer the human being he was. The Shibud was on that the former human being, there is no shibud on this human being. That's how it works. And Rashi says, Hekdesh aso shura poti v'kdishu kedushas haguf l'mizbeach v'davka kedushas haguf. That only works with kedushas haguf, says Rashi. You see the Rashi about five lines from the bottom of the page? V'davka kedushas haguf. The kedushas domim loy mafkia shibud. Very important point that we're going to have to work with. Kedushas domim, that doesn't work with it. What is kedushas domim? I can be makdish the value of an object, not the object itself. So there are two things. So now we're coming to a distinction within this amazing power that the Torah has given us. Yes, the Torah has given me the power to be makdish or to asur an object. This is a hekdish or this is asur. Nobody can use it. But I could say the value of this is hekdish. It's not the object itself, it's the value. What's the nafkimina? What's the difference if I...
It allows you to get rid of that object, right?
It allows you to get rid of that kedusha, because you can be poyder the kedusha. You can say, well, the object is worth $100. Let me take that kedusha, let me take that value, and give the $100 to the Beis Hamikdash. So that's now done. The shibud is that is then fulfilled, and the object now has no more kedusha on it. So I can be makdish an object, or I can be makdish the value of the object. One is called kedushas haguf, one is called kedushas domim. This that hekdesh is mafkia midei shibud, says Rashi, is only if it's kedushas haguf. If it's kedushas domim, it doesn't work. Now let's use our theory here to try and explain that. What did we say? The reason that koinam is mafkia midei shibud is because the koinam is chal on the object, changes the quality of the object, and the shibud is an obligation of the individual. You have a claim on me. If we say kedushas domim doesn't remove from a shibud, then is kedushas domim, it's more of an odom thing. By kedushas domim, although what I'm really saying is, I will give the value of this object to the Beis HaMikdash. And I've got two ways of doing that. I can give the object or I can give it the value. But the fact that I can choose means the obligation is on me. I haven't changed the quality of the object. Since the obligation is on me, that can't take away from a shibud, because they're both on me. The only way that the Koinam Mafkemi, the Shibud, works is if you can slide under the Shibud. And you slide under the Shibud by changing the quality of the object, not by affecting the agreement between the two individuals. I can't, by taking on a new obligation, I can't undo your obligation, because your obligation was first. So one Shibud can't do away with another Shibud. One chiyuv, gavra, one obligation of an individual can't undermine another obligation that existed beforehand. But where I can get at it by changing the quality of the object, the natural outcome of that is I've done away with the shibud. So says Rashi, kekdush mafkir midei shibud is only if it's kedushas haguf, not kedushas domi. Chometz ovid kichovim shehilvois Yisrael v'shibed lechemtze. A goy lends money to a Jew. The Jew makes the chometz collateral. V'lo harhinu. And he didn't give it to the goy, it stayed by the Jew. Ati isu chometz, now Pesach comes along. So I haven't paid my debt yet, but I could pay with money. So the goy doesn't own my chometz. He has a right to my chometz, but he doesn't own it. Pesach comes, I don't sell the chometz, and so the chometz is now chometz she'over alav ha'pesach. Mafkia lishibud ha'doivit kechovim. V'ave lechemtze shel Yisroel she'over alav ha'pesach v'osu ba'ano. So now I'm going to say to the goy, I'm really sorry, I don't have any cash, and nor can you take my chometz, because then I would be getting hanor from the chometz, and I'm not allowed to get hanor from the chometz. So tough, you've lost.
What about on Pesach?
Then certainly you can't have hanor from it. You certainly can't have hanor from it.
Isn't he in trouble then?
Yes, he's in trouble on Pesach, but that's apart from it. So he's not worried about the Ben-Odin and the Mokum. Now he's trying to get out of his Ben-Odin and the Chavera, and he says, sorry, that's how it works. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe he just didn't sell it. He forgot to sell it.
Priority of security. That's all. First security was given, and now Pesach, he sells it again. He can't really sell it because it's subject to the prior security, and if he tries to
execute... Yeah, good point. Good point. He probably can't even sell it.
During Pesach, we're in trouble.
Yeah, you're probably right. He probably can't even sell it because it's Meshubit.
So now he's stuck.
He probably can't sell it. So now Pesach comes. Absolutely right, Mark. Now Pesach comes.
The only thing you can do is you can default before Pesach.
You can default before Pesach, then the goy would get it. Yeah, but he didn't. The case is that Pesach came, the goy wants his chometz, and we say no. Sorry, Chomet is mafkia midei shibud. So even though Pesach came after the shibud, that the chomet changes the quality of the object. It ceased being bread and it became chomet. Ceased being whiskey and it became chomet. And the goy doesn't have a right on the chomet. Now it says Tosis. So we have Hektish, Chometz, and Shichru, and Koinom is a subset of Hektish. Mashma dafka kedushas haguf mafkiya midei shibud. So even koinam has to be where the koinam is clearly kedushas haguf. This is going to be key to our understanding of the Tzos HaChoshim. This principle that Tzos has just made here, that koinam mafkiya midei shibud is when we're sure that the koinam is on the object. If we have reason to believe that the koinam is not on the object, it doesn't work. The shibud stays in its place. And all the other discussion is around how do you know whether it's on the object or isn't it. As we'll see, that's how we're going to understand the Tzos HaChoshim. I'll just go further in the Tosfos. The Koshil Rabbeinu Tam, the I Choshiv Birushus Shusu Shelove, calls man Shelo Yigi Hazman. If we hold that the Chometz, strictly speaking, belongs to the Loive until he's defaulted, it's in his Rishus. He hasn't defaulted yet, so certainly his Rishus. Afilu Kedushus Damim Nami Mafkia Miyad Shibud. Then the Kedushas Domim should also be Mafkia Miyad Shibud. Why? Because it's in his Rishus. The Shibud hasn't been Chal yet. There's no Shibud. He has no rights in this Chometz. V'iloy Choshev B'Rishus. And if we say, no, it's not in his Rishus, that at the moment there's a Shibud, he loses control over it. Afil Kedushas HaGuf Nami Loy, that he Yakdish is Es beise, siv ma beise birushus afkol birushus. It's you can only be makdish something that isn't your rishus. Vayimeri the rova l'tamei the omer before kol shor, the bal choyv mikanu lahaba hu goyve. There's a very interesting machlokes rova and abaya as to when a bal choyv claims. So what happens? So you lend me $500,000, and we got to do it b'shtar, so automatically my $500,000 property is meshubah to you. My first option is clearly to pay you with cash, to repay you with cash. If I default, you can take the house. Now you've taken the house. At what point did that house become yours? So machlok is Rova and Abaye. Rova says it's from the time you take it. Before that you had a shibud, but that shibud wasn't exercised, nor could you exercise it because I had the right to give you money, and so you had no prior ownership. And our buyer holds, once you take it, we go back, when did you do a kinyan? When did you get rights to this house? The moment you lend me the money. That's when it's true, I could have avoided your getting the house, but you kind of bought an option on the house almost. Well, I had an option to give you the house rather than to give you the cash.
Automatically he gets security on the house. It's not
in the shtar. Yes, in a written loan, the lender automatically has rights to the property of the borrower. Yeah. It's not specified. So then there are all sorts of dinim. Which kind of property? What level of property? He has different properties. Which one do you claim from? But we're talking where even if he hasn't specified, if there's a shtar, it's a
assumed breach.
Yeah. So Rava holds it's mikanu lahaba who go there, the choshiv birushusay, and therefore the chometz in this case is in the rishus of the owner. The dafka kedushas haguf she'in lepidyun mafkia midei shibud. And what kind of kedushas haguf? Now Tosfos is going in and qualifying it further, and saying not all kedushas haguf can be mafkia midei shibud, only kedushas haguf which cannot be reclaimed with money. So even Kedushas HaGuf can sometimes be reclaimed with money. Kegon Shotam LeMizbeach. If you've taken a shor and you've given him to the Mizbeach, there's nothing you can do. You can't be poyder that. And therefore, that's a proper, that's a koina mafkiya mida yeshiva. That would work. Oikonomis, a koina. That's a proper koina mafkiya mida yeshiva.
What's the kedusha sagot that does have a pidyon?
A kedusha saguf that does have a pidyon, we'll see that the Kesef HaChoshen wants to say that a koinam kloli, for example, does. If I say this is also to you, it doesn't have a pidyon. But if I say it's also to everybody, I can be poided. Probably by giving money to Hekdesh, how you poided. So that would be one such example. Because a shibud is no better than pidyon. If I, the person who was makdish, have the right to remove the hekdesh by giving money, then the shibud also has rights to remove the hekdesh. But if even I can't remove it, then the shibud can't remove it either. So that's the parallel that Tosis wants to bring, and we'll work with this Tosis later on when we get deeper into it. V'chein chometz v'chein shichra u'mefarish birushalmi taime mishim deloy matzinu eved mishtachre v'chezer mishtavet. The reason that the shikhar works is because in Eved also there's no pidyon. You can't go backwards and forwards. Once the shikhar, it's permanent. So if there's a permanent change in the object, that's called a guf. That's called a kedushas haguf. Behind the kedushas, the kedushas haguf, kivan dechayle tu loy poko. Kedushas haguf, once it's chal, it can't come off. That's how you know it's kedushas haguf. Kedushas haguf is a permanent change in the halakhic quality of the object. About kedushas domim, lo yalim koach hekdesh mikoach makdish. But kedushas domim, hekdesh doesn't have a stronger hold over it. The Beis Hamikdash doesn't have a stronger hold on it than the power of the makdish himself. Kivan deyesh lo pidyon, uriyeli lifkoat. Since in any case I can remove that kedusha by being poyde, so the Beis Hamikdash also doesn't have a stronger right than that. After then, we'll use this Tosfos more. But what we see clearly in the Tosfos is, the primary concern is the koinam or the hekdesh, is that chal on the guf of the chefetz, or is it something peripheral to the guf? And one of the ways you know that is by permanence, by the fact that there's nothing you can do to undo it. If there's nothing you can do to undo it, that means it's in the guf. If there's a way to undo it, it's not in the guf. So now let's look at the exercitation again. He's always a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. Also b'shivcha. So on Yom Rabbi he can't marry a shivcha because it's a half off. V'yom atzma nami also b'vas chorin. Tadavdu shiboy b'tzad chayrus nami boy lo ilom. He's a hybrid. He's a permanent hybrid. And unless the Rebbe sells his half, he remains a hybrid every day of the week. And therefore, the only way that the Rebbe can use him on Tuesday and on Thursday is because he has a shibud in the half owned by the Eved himself. But he doesn't own that part. So the Eved is always a hybrid. On Monday, the owner has to let the Eved use the owner's half. And on Tuesday, the Eved has to let the owner use the Eved's half. But that's midin shibud, it's not midin, it's not midin kinyan aguf. That's how. So this is not like a chotzer. A chotzer can flip backwards and forwards, an Eved can't. Once an Eved has had shichru, that shichru is in the guf of the Eved, and there's something where there's a change in the guf of the Eved, it can't flip backwards and forwards. Is how he learns. So what's his next question going to be? The logic through this piece of Tosafot is just wonderful. So what's the next? So now we've said, we started off saying, can the case of the chotzer in the dorim be compared to the eved? In that, just in the case of the chotzer in the dorim, each one has a kinyan haguf on the day they're there, in the entire chotzer, using the principle of Breira, could we say the same with the eved? If we did say the same with the Eved, he should be able to marry a Shivcha when he's on with the Rebbe and a Basfarian when he's on his own day. Should work for Isser as well. Why doesn't it? Answer the Ksesa question. It doesn't because Shichru is a matter of, is in the Guf Hadova, and Shichru can't go backwards and forwards. Once a person has Shichru, that can't flip backwards and forwards. The Guf of the person has changed, and Shibudim nothing is going to affect it. So the only thing that you can say is that the Rebbe has a Shibud in the Eved's half, and the Eved has a Shibud in the Rebbe's half, and that's how it is all the way through. So the next question then has to be, so how does it work with the Chotzer? So let's work even with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says they can both go in Monday. Reuven can go into the yard. Tuesday, Shimon can go into the yard, because on Monday it belongs entirely to him, and on Tuesday it belongs entirely to him. So Monday, Reuven goes into the yard. Monday night, they make this neder. Question is, on Tuesday, can Shimon go into the yard? Says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, yes, because when Shimon goes into the yard, he's got a kinyan haguf, so that neder wasn't chal. Ask the Ktzos HaChoshen, but the neder was chal on his half. And how do we ever get rid of that? Okay, let's have a look at the Ktzos HaChoshen inside. The Gamba Shutfin Shinodra Tikshu Lefize. Heichi Amiran Bereiru. How does Bereiru work? Umutuli Kanes. Umishum Bereiru Di Isla Kol Chad Vachad Kinyan Haguf. How does the Ran work? Because when I, Reuven, have the yard, that day it's all mine, using Breira. So I make the Koinom. I can do that. It's a Kinyan Aguf. I've got the Kinyan Aguf. I can make the Koinom. The Kivan, the Koinom, Kedushas Aguf, of also the Chal Shoachas, Tuloy Poka. So you've got a shibud, but koinam is mafkiya midei shibud. And Tosfos just said, if it's a koinam in the guf achevet, this is a koinam in the guf achevet. How can you make a koinam in the guf achevet? I'm a partner, but you weren't a partner on Monday. Breira made you a non-partner on Monday. And while you weren't a partner, I put on a koinam. How does that koinam ever disappear again? The famous because of Tosfos Megidin. To me, high time, a kedushas haguf mafkiya midei shibud, the kivin de bar chayv, mikanu lahaba goyvo, the chayisha achas tu loy poka. A Baal Chayv, when he only gets it from Kamikana Lahaba. The Shutfin Shinodra have our Kopanim Shua Achas Didei with two Lepoka. The Shutfin have for each day, they have the whole field. So if the partner makes the Koinam on the day he owns the field, that's his field entirely. So he answers it with a further distinction. The Nira the Fimashikos of Aran bin Adorim b'shem Arav Rabbeinu Yoyna. The Datka Koinam Klali Hu Deloi Poka Bichdi Ava Koinam Prati Poka Bichdi. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Tosfos in the Dorim makes a chiluk and says this that Koinam takes away from a Shibud is only a Koinam Klali. Nobody's allowed to have Anor from my field. If I say only my Shutev is not allowed to have Anor from my field, that doesn't take away from a Shibud. And so what would we say is the reason, using our theory? What's the reason for this difference? Why would it work that if I make a koinam klali, it's mafkiya midei shibud, and a koinam prati, it's not?
Klali is on the object?
Yes, we would have to say if it's not a koinam klali, it's not on the object. If Mark's not allowed to use it, but you are allowed to use it, clearly the quality of the object hasn't changed. This is in the gavra, this is not in the chefza. So that's how I would want to understand the Rabbeinu Yonah. To say the koinam klali only works if it's a koinam afkiyam midei shibud, if it's really in the guf. A koinam prati is not really in the guf. And if it's not really in the guf, it's not afkiyam midei shibud.
I don't know why you're saying afkiyam midei shibud. We're discussing if koinam can be paka or not. If it's like kedusha. I don't know where the shibud is coming in.
Okay, so you'll see how they link, but let's go along that line. Let's take the case of the shutfin. So what's the Ktzos HaChoshen trying to say? What does he ask? That if the koinam is chal on the goof, once it's chal on the goof, it can't be poker. Therefore, it should work. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, it can be poker because it was never chal on the goof. Right. If it's a koinam proti, it was never chal on the goof.
But I don't see any shibud right now.
Yes, but what did we say if it's not chal on the goof? What did Tosfos say in Gittin? If it's not chal on the goof, then what happens with shibud?
If it's not chal on the goof, then the shibud remains.
Yes, it's not mafkiya midei shibud.
Oh, I see.
Okay, the whole thing is it chal on the goof or not? If it's chal on the goof, It's not, it's matkia midei shibud, it's not pekeh lo ilom, all those dinim start applying. All we've got to keep focused on is it chalam agufana? Rabbeinu Yonah throws a new dimension in and says, if it's a koinon prati, it's not chalam aguf. It's prati, it's not chalam aguf. And what was the case of the shutfin in the dorim? Is that koinon ptoli or prati? The two guys have a yard? Yeah, I'm just saying. Reuven says Shimon can't have. I know Shimon says Reuven. So what would happen according to that if they did a Kohen Klali? If on the day that Reuven had the yard, on Monday, Reuven has the yard fully, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, using Breira, and he makes a Kohen Klali. Nobody can have Anoah from my yard. Then he wouldn't be. Then even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that he couldn't come in according to the cliff. And he if it says nobody but me, but if he, is that a Kohen Klali? Is that a Kohen Klali? Probably not. He's probably right. Probably nobody, but nobody, even he. You're right. And the Rabbeinu Yonah will do the Rabbeinu Yonah inside next week. Where a man says to his wife, if you go to your father's house before Yom Tov, you can have no Hanor from me until Sukkot. So the question is, he has obligations to her. How can his Kohenim work? And we said, Mishum de Kohenim prati klisha ufoka bichti. And after, what happens after Rabbeinu Yonah's kashis, and what happens after Sukkot, or after Pesach, however it was worded, all of a sudden she's okay, what happened to the Kohenim? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a Kohenim prati. Umishum hachi niche beshutfin shenodru. Tahavale Kohenim prati, shosru zeal zebe Kohenim. Uvesho shushel hamadir neesa. So the case of the shutfin, that's a kind of proti, and they acted on one another. Reuven said Shimon can't have benefit from my yard, and Shimon said Reuven can't have benefit from my yard. Ushashul amadi nesa, and while it was the madi, it was nesa. Achashol shenichnas lebishulei nichnas. But the next day, when Reuven goes into the yard again, he's going into his own yard. Poka bichti shu kind of proti. What happened to the koinam? It's gone. Why is it gone? It's a kind of proti, and I have a shibud. That's how he resolves it. And where he's going to go to from here next week is, but then we have another problem with that. He'll modify the model one step further, and with the modified model and the whole thing clear, he'll explain a difficult rashbo at the end of it that we'll come to. So what have we got so far? We've got an initial desire to try and parallel the case of the chotzer with the case of the eved. And just as in the case of the chotzer, each one has a kinyan haguf in the whole chotzer on the day they're there. So, with the eved, the chatzi eved, chatzi bin chorin, each one should have a kinyan haguf in the entire day that they're working. That would mean, as the Gemara wants to try and say, that he should be able to marry a shifcha on the day that he works for the rebbe, and marry a bas chorin on the day that he works for himself. We don't say that. The reason, says the first question, that we don't say that is because shichur is one of those things that can't be poker, because shichur is like a koinam aguf, or it's like a hektish beguf. There's a qualitative change in the body of the individual, and that can't flip backwards and forwards. Once that qualitative change has been made, it's permanent. And the permanence itself is part of the qualitative change, and therefore there's no such thing. And he remains a chatzi eved chatzi bin chorin. That's his metzius, and each one has a shibud in the other. We cannot use breira to say one day you're a full eved and one day you're a full bin chorin. It works with a field; it doesn't work with a human being. In that case, he goes back to the yard and says, "But then, how come we can do it at the yard? There's koinam there as well. What happens to the koinam? If you made the koinam on the day it was all yours, using breira to make it yours, what happened to the koinam the next day? Where did it go?" Answers the Tosfos HaChoshen using the principle of Rabbeinu Yonah, that if it's a koinam prati, which that koinam is in the case of the yard, it isn't actually a koinam haguf. It's the way we're understanding Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say it exactly like that. And we look at the Rabbeinu Yonah inside, but Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be saying, if it's a koinam prati, it's not a koinam beguf. It's not a kedushas haguf. It's prati, so it's between the individuals, and therefore the koinam disappears, the shibud takes preference. But if he really did put a koinam haguf, if he really did put a koinam kloli that applies to the guf ha-chotzer, that would be a completely different thing, and they wouldn't be able to utilize it. That's where we're up to so far. So again, in terms of the direction that we're going to take is we're going to first see the full Tosfos HaChoshen. I thought we might get through it today, but we didn't. So we'll finish it in Yom Tov next Sunday, get through the full Tosfos HaChoshen, and then extract the primary principles. Just to look at some of the Gemaras further. So I've got a handout of that piece of Rabbeinu Yonah. If you look at that Chaf Tes, it's you can take them with you. So it's just a short piece of Rabbeinu Yonah. And the Gemara in Ksubis we've got as well. So those are good. You hang on to those because we'll use them next week. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, v'chi kedusha shebohen lahechan holcha, which is about the 10th fat line of Rabbeinu of the Ran. V'chi kedusha shebohen lahechan holcha, and in that he brings Rabbeinu Yonah's question and answer, and that's what Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ksos HaKoshen, is talking about. So don't worry if it's not 100% clear to you yet. We're going to work through the whole Ksos HaKoshen, wrap it up, understand it, and then clarify the principles that emerge from the Ksos HaKoshen and the various different sugyas that he uses, and we'll get clarity by the end of next week. What are you missing, Mark?
When the Gemara asks, tell him they ask to be a Rabbi Yisrael.